Hello, welcome again to the Hope Channel and to Higher Ground. God gives us insight into His plan for our lives. In Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, He says He wants to give you a future and a hope and to bring you to a desired destination. That desired destination is higher ground. Come on, join me. We're going to go to higher ground. I'm Barry Black, and thank you for joining me on Higher Ground. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to be looking at the Word of God and trying to learn how to get to the next level of spiritual excellence. I'm talking today on the subject, blocking the doorway to heaven. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, our Lord said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you will not enter into the kingdom, and you block the door of those who are trying to enter." If we're going to go to the next level of spiritual excellence, we must refuse to block the doorway to heaven. I was at a book signing the other day for my book, From the Hood to the Hill, an autobiography. And a young lady came up and began to talk to me. She told me about growing up in my hometown, Baltimore, and how when she was 8 years of age, she went to the birthday party of a friend. At the end of the party, she needed a ride home. And they asked the girl's uncle to drive the little 8-year-old home. On the way home, she was molested by the uncle who was driving her. What a tragedy. Abusing a child, blocking the doorway to heaven, not willing to enter into the doorway ourselves and then blocking the doorway for others. That is what Jesus criticized among the religious leaders of his day. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, unfortunately, were not the only ones who blocked the doorway to heaven. Sometimes the disciples did the very same thing. And we find that in our scripture lesson today, in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, the Bible says people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Are you blocking the door to the kingdom for someone by the life you are leading? Are you blocking the door for children? For it is critically important that we take care of the children, for they are our future. If we are going to, by God's grace, refuse to block the door to the kingdom of God, there are some things that we need to do. We need to bring children to Jesus. Billy Graham is reported to have said that we are one generation away from agnosticism. As adults, we need to share with our youth, with our children, the mighty deeds of God in our history. They do not have to be your biological children for you to prepare them for a future when they will believe that God is able to do anything but fail. The Lebanese-American poet Khalil Gibran, in his book, The Prophet, talked about children. He wrote, "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, they do not belong to you. You can give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You can house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you, for life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bow from which your children are sent forth as living arrows. The archer sees the mark on the path of the infinite. He bends you with his might, that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrows that fly, so also he loves the bow that is stable." We need to learn to bring children to Jesus. Where else could you take them and have their lives transformed? We need to talk to the children about the mighty acts of God in our history so that their lives can be transformed by his living presence. Bring the children to Jesus. In Mark 10, that is exactly what the parents were doing. They were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But they were rebuked by the disciples and stopped by the disciples. Now, the Greek word for child in this instance refers to someone up to the age of 12. So some of these children were quite old, and yet they were brought to Jesus. When I look at my background and my history, I don't know where I would be if there had not been friends and neighbors who brought me to Jesus. They would find little odd jobs that I could do in the inner city so that I could have a little money in my pocket and not be tempted to involve myself in deviancy, in evil. They were bringing me to Jesus. They were encouraging me and telling me that God was going to do something special with my life. I remember a dear sister, Albertha Brown, who used to let me come over her house after school at 3 o'clock each day. I would go with Sister Brown's children, and she would prepare a wonderful meal. And I would sit in that home and watch her putting out the plates, and there was always a place for me at that table. It was a nourishing meal. She was bringing me to children, recognizing the fact that even though I was not her biological child, she still had a responsibility to help me move into the future, prepared to contribute to our society and our world. So if we're going to refuse to block the door to heaven and to bless our children, we need, my friends, to bring them to Jesus. But when we bring them to Jesus, there's a second thing that we need to do, and that is to seek God's blessing on our children. These parents in Mark 10 did not bring their children to Jesus so that their children could get an autograph from our Lord. They wanted him to touch their children. They wanted him to bless their children. And desiring that God will bless the child and positioning children for a blessing is one of the greatest things that you can do in the life of a child. My mother was pregnant with me when she was baptized. As she entered the watery grave of baptism, she prayed that the Holy Spirit would place a special anointing on her unborn child. She sought for God to bless her child. And I want you to know, it made all of the difference in my life. Are you seeking a blessing for your child, for the children around you? Before I could walk, my mother brought me to the church for a dedicatory service, and the pastor laid hands on me and dedicated me. My mother also sacrificed to ensure that I matriculated at Christian schools, along with my siblings, seven of siblings, from grade one all the way through college. She ensured that we received an education which sought to develop us not only intellectually, but socially, physically, and most importantly, spiritually. She was seeking a blessing for her children. Are we willing to seek God's blessings on the children? Are we willing to put our money where our mouths are? There were people in my church who contributed to my tuition, and my siblings and I would not have been able to go to private Christian schools without the contribution of these people who refuse to block the door to the kingdom of God, refuse to block the doorway to heaven. They were on higher ground. There is a third thing that you must do. If you are going to refuse to block the doorway to heaven, and that is you must overcome the opposition, the inevitable opposition that will come when you are trying to do right. During a particular season of my life, my mom, a single parent, was on welfare. And there were people who criticized her for having her children in church school. Pearline, you can't afford it. How can you have five children at one time in church school? You can't afford it. But that did not stop my mother. She continued to do what was right in spite of the opposition. I think of the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15 who experienced opposition, but she persevered through the opposition for the sake of her child. I think of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah was in a polygamous marriage, and she had in her rival, the rival wife, Penina, a taunter who laughed at her. But Hannah went to the temple and prayed with passion. James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous avail much. Hannah prayed with such passion that Eli the priest thought she had been drinking the cooking sherry. He said, you must be inebriated. Her lips were moving, but no words were coming out. I am not drunk, sir, she said. I am in distress. And Eli said, you are going to get what you asked God for. Hannah wanted a child blessed by God. And she promised God, if you will give me that child, I will dedicate him to you. I will take him to the temple. I will let him be reared to be a servant of yours. And she did exactly that. She overcame the opposition of the taunts of her rival, overcame being misunderstood by the priest himself, who would later face the judgment of God. And because of Hannah, the great prophet Samuel blessed Israel for many years. There's a fourth thing that you need to do if you are going to refuse to block the doorway to heaven and bless the children, and that is expect Jesus to help you. It was Jesus in this Bible passage who came to the aid of these mothers. The Bible says, when Jesus saw his disciples rebuking these women, he was indignant. And you don't want Jesus to become indignant. He was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. When you can't depend on anyone else, my friend, you can depend on Jesus to help you. He said in Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. He said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, I will never leave you or forsake you. When you can't depend on anyone else, you can depend on Jesus to help you. I remember we had an emergency in my home when I was growing up, and my mother said to us, children, God is going to send us money so that we can deal with this emergency. There were five of us at the time. My four siblings looked at me, I looked at them, and we thought, Mama is talking crazy. How in the world is anyone going to send us any money? But the next day, my mother walked to the mailbox like she was going to an ATM. She took out the letters, opened one. The first one was a bill, but the second letter had green in it. A long time ago, people would actually send cash through the mail. And my mother lifted those bills triumphantly. And then she read the letter out loud to us. The letter said, Pearline, God placed you on my heart, and I hope you will be blessed by this contribution. And then my mother made us memorize the Bible verse that says, before they call, I will answer, and while they are speaking, I will hear. She then pointed to the date, the postmark on the envelope, and we could see as children that that letter was mailed even before the emergency came. Before they call, I will answer, and while they are speaking, I will hear. You can expect Jesus to come to your rescue and come to your aid. The hymn writer declared, ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. There's a fifth thing that you must do if you are going to refuse to block the doorway to heaven, and that is to receive God's kingdom as a little child. Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter in." What is there about a child that we should embrace if we are to receive God's kingdom and not be blocking the doorway to heaven? A child has humility. A child has such humility that he or she will trust his or her parents to take care of all of the needs that that child may have. I remember that even when my family was evicted when I was a little child, I did not worry because I knew that somehow and some way my mother would find some solution to our predicament, and she always did. A child has humility. Many people have problems coming to Jesus Christ because it requires humility. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus said, two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee who prayed arrogantly to himself. The other a hated tax collector, a publican. This publican was in such spiritual distress that he wouldn't even look up, but beating on his chest, he cried with great humility, "Lord, have pity on me, a sinner." And Jesus said, that man went from that synagogue saved. My friends, we need that kind of humility if we are to receive the kingdom of God in a way that will not block the door to the kingdom of God. "Truly I tell you," says our Lord, "anyone who will receive the kingdom of God like a little child, that individual is going to enter in, but those who won't will not enter in." The child not only has humility, but the child has faith. Faith is the only attribute. The Bible says, without it, you cannot please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And all the faith that children have. Faith that sometimes will make grown folk do silly things. I once overheard my sons bragging to some of their friends in the neighborhood about how fast their daddy could run. "My daddy is faster than your daddy." No, my daddy is faster than your daddy. My boys had faith in my ability to run. Well, I had been a sprinter in college, but my boys didn't know how fast I could run. But before you could say Jackie Robinson, there were two older men out in the neighborhood with the children gathered around and with my boys shouting, "Runners to your mark, get set, go." And we were running, trying to prove that our children were right, trying to prove that the faith of our children in our athletic prowess was justified. If you're going to enter the kingdom of God, receiving the kingdom as a child, you need humility and you need faith. Well, there's a third thing you need. If you're going to receive the kingdom of God as a child, you also need dependence. A child is dependent. And there's a beautiful thing about human helplessness, because humanity's extremity is God's opportunity. When we are helpless, that is when we are in our power position. Someone said, "I'm glad I've been knocked to my knees, for that is my power position." A sick man once said, "I'm glad God put me on my back, because it forced me to look up." A child is totally dependent on his or her parent. An infant would die without the parent's assistance. A child is so dependent that there is something psychologists call marasmus disorder. When a child is not touched, when a child is not held, when a child is not embraced, that child can actually die. And so in many orphanages, they would have people who were hired just to hold the little children. That is how dependent children are as feeble creatures of God's creative handiwork. And so let us have that kind of dependence. Blessed, says the Beatitude, the first one, are the poor in spirit. That is, blessed are those, oh, how blessed are those who recognize their utter dependence on God. Oh, how blessed they are, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When I know that I can't do it on my own, then the kingdom of heaven belongs to me. For the will of God will be done on earth, even as it is done in heaven. And so, let's refuse to block the door to the kingdom of heaven. The children are our future. Let us teach them well and let them lead the way. Let us show them all the beauty they possess inside. But let us point them to the one who said, "Let the children come to me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven."